Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. It's coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impoga, and this evening we'll talk about the youth unemployment in Africa. And with us tonight is Obiora Ani. Obiora is a political reporter at the Voice of Nigeria. He's joining us by phone from the capital, Abuja. Good evening, Mr. Ani.
Yeah, good evening, Douglas. And how is the U.S. today?
U.S. is very good. How is Abuja?
Abuja is very fine. The weather is very clement, and everything is going on smoothly.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And joining me here in studio is my colleague, Patrick Deya. Patrick, it's been quite a while since you were last on Reporters Roundtable.
I know, and it's a pleasure to be back here.
You're welcome. And Suleiman Mugula is joining us from Durban in South Africa. He's an independent political analyst and a friend and regular panelist. Suleiman, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I hope Durban is doing fine.
Very fine, no problem.
You're drawing more cartoons?
Say it again. It is a very controversial subject in the country right now.
Well, gentlemen, once again, welcome to Reporters Roundtable. As I said, our topic tonight is the youth unemployment in Africa. Some have described it as a time bomb. Let me begin in Abuja. Biora, how serious is youth unemployment over there?
Yes, youth unemployment in Nigeria is very, very huge. And it's really a big problem to the government. But government is also devising means to ensure that these problems are solved. The percentage of unemployed youth in this country is on the high side.
I see.
Efforts are being made by the current government to ensure that jobs are provided.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to mechanize agriculture, for instance, and they are trying to draw the youth in the streets to go back into agriculture, this time in a modern way.
Mm.
They're also devising other means, such as engaging them in sports, engaging them in other activities. They're also trying to, you know, bring about power generation to ensure that the industries that have moribund come back to life, and they will add in employing the youth in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Nigeria, the government is trying to encourage the youth to do everything possible to encourage the youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be engaged meaningfully.
I see.
For instance, the film industry in Nigeria is booming, and a lot of youth are going into it. There's also the issue of sports, which is also engaging so many people, and so many other areas. The government is trying to ensure that create jobs that you may realize that millions of youth graduate every year from the tertiary institutions, and those who graduate who go into the labor market after 1 year compulsory service for graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And for now, government is taking statistics of the actual number of youth that are unemployed and doing everything possible to provide jobs for them.
Yes, all the things you enumerate, are these proposals, are these ideas, or is the government actually trying to do something about it?
No, actually, they are no longer proposals, because already in the 2012 budget, the government budgeted over 50 million naira for job creation, and already agriculture for now is being mechanized. The new Minister of Agriculture, Dr. Ambition, has been everything possible to ensure that agriculture is revamped. And some of those who graduated from the universities who are on their youth are being mobilized as a town into the agricultural sector, where they have specialized farms where they will absorb the youth workers and ensure that they engage in agricultural processes. Because the people in government is that agriculture is the employer.
Mm-hmm.
It takes as much as 70% of the those who are looking for jobs, the youth, especially in this country.
I see. Let me come here to the studio to Patrick. Patrick, You just had Abiola in Nigeria. I'm surprised that all these efforts are being made in Nigeria, and the picture he paints seems too good to be true. But if it is, well, you know, Nigeria is our big brother country with over 100 million people. So the more projects they put for to employ the youth, the better for the region and maybe the whole continent. How is the situation like in Kenya, for instance?
Well, I know that youth unemployment is one of the biggest problems that faces Kenya. And I just think that I'm not very sure or familiar with any specific, you know, elaborate policy that targets the youth employment and training and all those kind of things. I know that one program that has been very controversial in Kenya that has captured headlines was this Kazi kwa Vijana, program, which yes. meant specifically jobs for the youth.
Right.
The controversy was that the type of employment that was being offered to the youth was very backward type of employment, mm-hmm. which was, you know, digging trenches and whatnot, you know, working.
But at least they were adding something.
But they were adding jobs to, one can argue on both sides. But I think that one of the biggest issue is that I think the government has not done a very good job, and I don't know what they're doing now, but I don't think they've done a very good job to have a very specific policy on how they're going to solve the issue of youth unemployment. There is a much greater number of young people graduating from high schools, graduating from college, than the market can actually bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of the other side of the equation is not being raised. I think when you look at it in from a larger perspective, why I think the youth issue is very big in Africa and unemployment rate among that group is very high, is one, the youth are the largest percentage in the population.
Right, right.
Two, I think the lack of manufacturing in Africa is a big issue. Africa produces a lot of from minerals to oil to agriculture, but agricultural products. But you find that they don't make the end product. So you find that a lot of things are exported outside to be refined.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of manufacturing that would really take in the unemployed youth.
Mm.
So I think this is some, if that part of it is not solved on the larger scale, I think this problem is going to still persist.
I see. Yeah. Suleiman, Patrick here alluded to it, of Africa's almost close to a billion people, more than half are youth, age 18 to 20, 25. So, and you can imagine how bad that can be. South Africa happens to have a better economy. Is it any better as far as the youth employment is concerned?
South Africa is truly, as you've said, comparatively compared to other African economies, our economy is comparatively healthy. But like any other states, we are not insulated from the problem. We are still facing high numbers of unemployment. But the difference between us and other African countries is that our government, since in 1994, being a democratic government, it has been transparent and it has had comprehensive and integrated policies since 1994. From day one, we had the programs like the Reconstruction and Development Program, which was called ERDP, which was geared towards stimulating the economy, towards the creation of employment, especially for young people. We had the Growth and Employment Reconstruction, which was called GIA. Then we have had also others following in those footsteps. Like we have had in 1998, we had one which was called the Presidential Job Summit, which was a convergence of both the private and the government institution. In other words, what I can sum up is that as far as the South African government is concerned, it is an ongoing priority for the government. For example, in the last financial year, the target was 900 jobs in the financial year.
900,000 or 900?
900,000.
Okay.
I think we clocked close to reaching the target. So we even right now, as we are speaking, every budget, including this budget, you'll find that there are a lot of stimulus packages. There is a lot of integrated multi-sectorial approach towards the creation of employment. You'll find that South Africa, unlike the other African countries which were disrupted by the structural adjustment program, South Africa, we are still running a mixed economy. We have got government full participation into the planning, into the implementation and the monitoring of policies which it has drawn, which are geared towards creation of employment. Unlike in those other African countries where government is a job is only relegated to being to the creation of an enabling environment for the private sector. Here in South Africa, the government has got full participation. For example, we have got the Ministry of Public Enterprises. These public enterprises are a cofactor in the development of the economy. Enterprises like the Transnet, the railway work, the Eskom, those ones are big institutions through which government regularly works through to jack up the economy and to create policies or frameworks that can help to create employment. So in short, I can say that, yes, we are also faced with the problem, but the government is hands-on, and it is really focused, and it has got the policies in place. It is only that we are being overwhelmed by the growing number every day.
I see. Let me go to Abiora again. I think we have him back on phone, and Elaine may be better now. Abiora, how is the situation as far as regional movement of people looking for job is concerned?
Let me come from what Suleiman said. I think Suleiman was absolutely right. The case of South Africa is different. Nigeria has been running a monotype of economy dependent on oil. And over the years, because of the long period of military dictatorship we had in Nigeria, the infrastructure, there was a lot of infrastructure decay, the power sector, everything, the industry sector, they have not been, as high as was expected. But since they come into Nigeria, coming back to democracy since 1999, we've had also previous government that have been trying to, democratic government has been trying to revamp this infrastructure, especially power and roads and stuff, and the effort by the current government is trying to boost all these things. What the present government calls the transformation program of the government, that is trying to revamp the power sector and then boost industry and stuff. And like Suleiman said, a lot of private investments are coming into Nigeria now that are absorbing a lot of the youth. Now, on movement, yes, there's a lot of youth movement here in search of labor across the country, because Nigeria is a large country, but in terms of movement, it is the youth go to anywhere, any part of the country in search of jobs. And what the government is trying to do is to ensure that each region, we have six geopolitical zones in this country. The north, the south, northeast, northwest, north central, southeast, south, south, and the southwest. The six geopolitical zones, actually, the government, the various governments at the state level are doing all they could to ensure that they create jobs for the youth. And they do not discriminate as to whether you are coming from the southeast or southwest. Wherever the creation of jobs is across the board. Any state can employ any youth from any part of the country, not minding whether you are from the north or from the south.
I see.
It's actually serious movement, job creation going on right now in Nigeria.
I see. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of the youth and employment in Africa, and we'll look at solutions.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Tonight we're discussing the youth unemployment in Africa. Our panelists are Abiora Ani of Voice of Nigeria, my colleague Patrick Deya, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent public analyst based in South Africa. I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Studio 9. Patrick, let's look at solutions.
Right.
For instance, in our region, East Africa, mm-hmm. with the East African community expanding and with intentions of proper integration,
right.
Do you see that solving the problem or making it worse?
No, I think that East Africa thing is a great idea, opening up the market. But what will make it more effective is if there's uniformity to policy mm-hmm. in terms of taxation, mm-hmm. in terms of tariffs, in terms of how long does it take for somebody to set up a business. Mm-hmm. There's a big disparity right now. Rwanda is doing very well. It's 45 days to set up a business in Rwanda.
Yeah.
It takes 105 days to set up a business in Kenya. Just the other day, I think the Prime Minister was talking about, urging the parastatals, which is, semi-controlled, industries mm-hmm. by the government, where there's so much... in his opinion, there's so much micromanagement from the permanent secretaries mm. under the ministries and also the ministers under, micromanaging these corporations. There has to be a concerted effort in attracting industry, outside investors, mm-hmm. that will, be attractive or, make this multi-corporation see an opportunity in doing business in that environment.
Mm.
When there's so much bureaucracy in licensing and in, certain impediments, then you're not attracting the right type of investors to come in at the right time and at the right type of pace mm. in order to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. So I think those are some of the things that the government needs to do.
I see. Suleiman, Patrick is talking about industrialization, attracting more investors and making their work easy in setting up camp in those countries. But related to this is the political and environment and political stability in those countries affected because
exactly.
You can't attract investors if there's instability, and you can't attract them if the countries are so corrupt with dictatorial leaders.
That's true.
So this sounds to me like a chicken and egg situation.
Right, Douglas. Africa at the moment is in a vicious circle. Simply put, we are in a state of paralysis in most of the country. The governance situation has crippled everything. Our policies are skewed. Our priorities are skewed. Our emphasis are skewed. We don't even own the continent at the moment. Most of our policies are foreign dictated. So my opinion is if we are to create opportunities for the mass population of young people whom we have on the street. We need to have a shake-up of our African continent in so many ways. One, the way you have put it, we need to restructure government. We need to be like Uganda, Ghana, certain things in the Kenya, where we have got a democratic and transparent government, where we have got all the citizens involved in the planning of the economy. For those countries which were affected by the structural adjustment program, there is a need to restructure the economies in such a sense to redress what was made wrong by structural adjustment program. Because after even IMF and World Bank had accepted that mistakes were made, nothing, we have not had governments to reverse. Instead, they are continuing to run the economies the way they have run. So we have got a number of things to look at. We have got a number of things to look at, including even our relations with China, our relations with the NGOs, our relations with the development partners, the countries that give us aid. We have to scrutinize the type of loans which we are getting and what conditions are coming with those loans. We need to start managing the economy like the way it is done in South Africa, in an integrated fashion where we are focused towards helping our own people, not running an economy which will produce our development partners.
I see. Abiola, you mentioned the programs the government has put in place in Nigeria, and most of them seem to be skewed towards the agriculture and, of course, the oil industry. What is being done to encourage industrialization, setting up factories? Because these two, oil and agriculture, can't absorb the huge number of youth that are going to be looking for jobs.
Yes, well, I told you earlier about the issue of revamping the energy sector. You know, the energy sector is key to industrialization. Initially, in Nigeria, before the advent of the military, low military period, we used to have textile factories across the northern part of the country, and then some other key industries in the southern part of the country. But all these are moribund now because, apparently, first of all, power. You know, the companies cry out that they use generators to power their machines, and it consumes a lot of money. Even the GSM operators in this country also complain about energy. So energy is the key, and government is doing everything possible to bring back energy to the country, and they have really done a lot of installations, a lot of machines, a lot of power generating machines have been installed across the country, and they've come up to a very high pitch. And as of now, Nigeria generates just a little over 3,000 megawatts, and by maybe the next, before the end of this year, it could get up to 6,000 or more. And this is not apparently enough. But government is also interested in ensuring that they give a lifeline to those planning to come into industrialization in Nigeria, both local and foreign, foreigners who want to do business in Nigeria. They are giving them a lot of incentives such as tax holidays and encouragement that will help them operate freely in the country. Mm-hmm. They're also looking at the laws establishing companies and stuff like that. Those that are moribund, those that needed to be revisited, they are doing that at the National and State Assemblies. And the major problem, I think, like Suleiman said, is the issue of bureaucracy. There's a need for the government to restructure a lot of things, for instance, in Nigeria. Coming to issues like movement in the regional bloc like West Africa, has been a very difficult thing. For Africa to really get it right, they need to harmonize their laws and make movement of people and goods much more easier than it is now. Because within the West African region, it is very, very difficult for even people to move. If you're going in search of jobs, is a problem. Even when you have your traveling documents, it becomes a lot more difficult for one to do that.
I think in addition to that freedom of movement, which I think in East Africa, that is right now, you can have an East African passport,
yes,
and a country like Rwanda will let anybody from the East African work, even in the Rwandan government. Apart from that, I think there also needs to be a very strong drive towards the trade bloc countries, like the COMESA, the East African industries, to East African countries, to have uniformity of policy on how they negotiate investments from outside.
Mm.
Because that will give them a stronger voice in bargaining, so that you don't have a multinational company investing in one country and under one set of rule and another on another set of rule.
Right.
I think the other thing is that there needs to be an involvement of the youth in the decision making. In which case, there needs to be a constant dialogue with the youth on how they can be involved. Because I think sometimes if for the longest time the youth have been neglected, and therefore there's that apathy of what is in it for me.
Yeah, and they lose hope.
And the last thing I think is that our educational way of what I remember is people go to school and everybody expects to come out and be employed.
Mm.
There should be a shift in the thinking that we train you to be creative enough to be able to be an entrepreneur with what you have. How can you apply what you have into being an entrepreneur?
Okay, in less than a minute, Suleiman. All this said, we need somebody talked about energy. There's load shedding in most countries of Africa. There are no roads. There's no what. Without infrastructure, governments investing in infrastructure. Do you think we can move forward? You have about 30 seconds to give me an answer.
Not at all, Douglas. So long as our government have taken a deep sleep, we won't move a second. We won't move an inch, because the way you have said, our priority should have, from long time ago, our priority should have been the investment in energy, investment in agriculture, investment in infrastructure, investment in trade, which we have not done. So we cannot create employment unless we have got specific policies in those sectors. Those are the key economic drivers.
Mm.
If they are not tampered with, if they are not catered for, then we cannot have employment on the continent.
Well, we shall have to put our heads together and make sure that African youth are employed, I hope. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Obiora Ani of The Voice of Nigeria. Obiora, thanks a lot.
Thank you
very
much. Yeah. Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome. Patrick, once again, good to have you on this show.
Thank you.
And Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Suleiman, as usual, my thanks.
It is always a pleasure.
Our producer tonight has been Jackson Mufunganyi. We'll be back again next week for another edition of Reporters Roundtable. And in case you missed any part of this program, you can still listen to it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Just click on Programs, scroll down to Reporters Roundtable, and you can listen to the whole program once again. You can also drop us a line. Our email address is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga in Washington, wishing you all the best.
This is our moment. We are speaking out to end malaria.
This is DJ Drogba. Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Join me. United, we can beat malaria.